You're listening to the Parkway Podcast.
So you can kind of just ripple it out. Go, I'm in this place of worship. You're the all in all. You're the rock. You're the center. You're the one that causes the movement. And from that, there's an overflow instead of a pouring out to the point of weariness. Right? And so you go, this, Lord, what's this look like right here, right now, in this moment in me? How can I impact the rounds I walk in today?
Hi, this episode is from our prayer and worship nights. We gather every Sunday night at 5 p.m. for a deeper and intense style service. Each Sunday night features a new worship team and a speaker from various ministries here at Parkway. The service ends with a time of intentional prayer as we respond to God's word, pray for our community, and pray for one another. If you missed a service, you can catch up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Podcasts, or online at parkwaycc.com/sermons.
Saints of God, would you just lift your hands? His presence is here. As we lift our hands, Lord, we say we surrender, and we do declare that you are in the highest, Lord God, in the highest over our life and in our homes, in the highest, Lord God, where we work, in the highest of our friendships and all our relationships. You are above all, Lord God, and we place you there. And we thank you, Father, Lord God, that you draw us, your children, near to you, that you hold us close, Lord God, by the bond of your word. You hold us close by the promises and the truths that have never been broken and will never be void in our relationship with you, Lord God. And Lord, even on the days when we were unlovable, you never forsake us. You've always been with us, Lord God. It is more than we deserve, and sometimes more than our heart and our spirit can comprehend. And yet, Lord God, we are enraptured by you. We are abiding in you, Lord God. So Lord, I give you the praise and I give you the glory. To you, Hosanna in the highest, we say these things. To you, God, all glory and honor. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen, amen. Thank you, worship team. Kayla, Seth, Rhonda, and Jackson as well. We are blessed as well. If you've never had a chance to hear Crystal, our speaker tonight, sharing with us, she's left a handout for each one of us on our seats as well and taking us through. But I'm telling you, if you want someone to pray it down over you, This is the warrior here. She knows how to do warrior battle in the spiritual realm, and we could all learn a thing or two from you. So, Crystal, let me turn this over to you, please.
Thank you. I don't usually do handouts, and this is exactly why, because I really felt like the Lord was impressing something on my heart during worship. When they were talking about open my eyes to the things unseen. And they were singing that song, open my eyes to the things unseen. And I thought about Elijah and his servant, whose name I can't remember right now, and I just looked it up. Gehazi. So Elijah was with his servant Gehazi, and they were there, and they woke up, and they stepped out. And they were clearly down in a valley because as they looked up, all they saw was an army surrounding them. That's all they saw. And it says that Gehazi was like afraid, like, it's just me and you. Here we are, and there's an army surrounding us. What are we going to do? Elijah didn't speak to his fears. He didn't start comforting him, telling him to rise up. He just said, Father, open his eyes that he can see what I see. And all of a sudden, at that proclamation of the prophet, his eyes were open and he could see, because he said, greater are those who are with us than those who are opposing us. And he saw an army of angels between them and the army. And all of a sudden, they weren't afraid anymore, right? Like, when you can see the unseen, you're not afraid of your circumstances anymore. You're not afraid of what's happening in the world. You're not discouraged by what's happening in the city or your workplace or your children or your home or your marriage. You're no longer discouraged by the things of this world, because you're seeing it through the heavenly perspective that alters how you're seeing the earthly things, rather than trying to see the earthly perspective through, like, trying to see God through the earthly perspective. Does that make sense? It's different when you're looking at this army surrounding you and you begin to fret and you think you're praying, Father, come, help, give us this, do that, will you please, instead of going, open my eyes that I can see what's happening in the heavenlies and let that be what my declaration and my belief comes from. Instead of praying God to help the things of earth, we're praying the heaven things into the earth, to invade the earth, to alter outcomes, right? Like, I just kept seeing that picture of that and going, Father, open our eyes that we can see the things unseen. But I think sometimes we want to just will ourselves into that viewpoint, right? We want it to be, I can remember a time where it was like, when the Lord started giving me this revelation about, let the meditation of my heart and the confession of my mouth, like the things that prayer isn't just a, when I close my eyes, it's every thought I have is aligning, it's a prayer. Every word I confess, I'm aligning with the spirit realm one way or the other. Every step I take, every action I make, it's a release of a spirit realm, right? You're agreeing with something. The word says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But that word for wrestle doesn't mean like we're contending. You know what that word means? Anybody? Anybody who's ever been in one of my prayer workshops knows. The word is vibrate. We're not vibrating against flesh and blood, but we are vibrating against principalities, powers, and spirits in high places. But greater is the vibration and frequency of heaven than any of those things. His name is above every other name. It really, really is. You know, and it's been really on my heart, how can we shift? Like, what can we be praying for this day and age? What can we be praying into the atmosphere, Lord? Like, I don't know about you, I'm kind of tired of praying about issues in our community. Like, I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of debating about it. I'm so tired of hearing debates about it. Like, what do we do with this? Is the answer in this system, this politician, this shift, this thing? Like, these are all worldly systems that we're looking to for heavenly solutions, and they can't do it and they can't satisfy, right? And so praying about that, I was like, the Lord one time put on my heart this little prayer ripple to give people just a practical kind of tool to pray through things. And this is kind of what you had. It used to be like full circles, but because we have amazing Carissa who fixes our things, mine were like drawn. Here's my little circles. And she's like, I can fix that for you. I'm like, I love you. Thank you so much. So, when we look at a ripple, so oftentimes we want to look at the ripples coming out, but we don't think about what caused the ripple, right? Like, what caused that ripple? And so when you're in this position of prayer, prayer isn't just your time of prayer. Your life is prayer. Your life, so often how we think of prayer is us talking to God about things or telling him what we need or asking him to do things. And that's great. That's definitely fellowship and communion with the heart of God. I hope we have a listening aspect to those times as well, where we're listening to the heart of God in the midst of it. But we have to understand, a gal called me last night and she was saying, I know I have to give it to God, but then what do I do? Like, there is a doing of things, like aligning our beliefs with him. And your beliefs aren't just what you think you believe, your beliefs are what you act out, right? So it's like aligning my thoughts. So instead of going, I'm gonna worry and fret, go, Father, you say we're equipped unto every good work. You say that you already have done this. You say this is accomplished in the heavenlies. You say that all of creation is groaning for the sons of God to finally be revealed. Like, you say this, and so, Father, we're going to act as if that's true. We're going to act as if we have the mind of Christ. We're going to act as if his spirit is alive in us and we're no longer a part of a spirit of death, right? We're going to conduct ourselves as if this is the reality, whether it's our experience or not, you know? And so with this prayer ripple, with worship as the center of all things, I was thinking of Ezra and Nehemiah. And those are actually one book that got split into two. And so when you think about that, they were in, so the Israelites had been put into exile. They were banished from their land was destroyed. It's a funny thing because we think of that as like, how awful, but you go, in reality, they were so self-destructive that banishment and prison was the only thing that would save them. Like, it was like, you just won't, there won't be any of you left if you're just left here to your own devices, right? And so, but a remnant was reserved who was to be recalled for the rebuilding of the city. But it's an interesting thing because every time they were in a land, they'd become content with occupying in the land of an oppressor as a blessed people. They just became content with it, right? Like, yeah, we're a blessed people and we're just content to be here in this place, even though it's not the promised land. It's not our homeland. It's not where we're supposed to be dwelling, but we're dwelling here as a blessed people. So, fine. We'll just stay here and do it. And we see that in the fact that they actually had positions in those places. You know, Nehemiah, I think it's so fascinating to me that he went into the king, and I think this is a great word too, and he was sad about the condition of, like, his community. Like, suddenly he was sad about it. And the king noticed he was sad because he'd never been sad in his presence before. If that's not a word for us, right? You know, like, he was so diligent in the things that he was doing. But they had become in that place. They were not occupying the promised land. They were not fulfilling the plan of God. But they had just settled. They learned to settle for where they were. And this stir began to come to rebuild the city and to return to that place, right? And I think about how, like, even in our own church right now, the remodel and the rebuild to me is just a prophetic act. Like, I love that our pastor had the wisdom and the vision for that and just put it forth when everyone was like, what? We can't do that. Like, you know what I mean? That's not a thing. You know, we can barely pay our bills or, I don't know, just whatever we think. And he's going, no, it's time to rebuild. It's time to rebuild. And how many of you know rebuilding something is very different than building something from scratch? Okay, and in some ways we think it's like, oh, it's easier to rebuild. It's actually harder. Like, I had the privilege to go to Miro Island this summer that had been ravished by a hurricane, and all their buildings were made of rock, you know, like, you know, and so there was just rubble. And they're like, we don't know what to do with the rubble to rebuild. You have to deal with the rubble, right? Versus just like a plain piece of land. Yeah, you got to plan it all out, but it's blank. Right? So the rebuilding, I feel like we're in a rebuilding season here. And I think it's really important. One of the things we always say when we're in disaster zones is we want to see cities rebuilt on the kingdom of God. We don't want them just rebuilt the way they were. We want them rebuilt on the kingdom of God. So whatever blew them out now does not have authority to blow them out again. They get to prosper in kingdom things. And so when you look at the ripple, which... there we go. It's going to pop up. Thank you. When you start with that place of understanding that it starts with praise and worship, and this isn't as an act, you know, how the remodeling of this church, it's a prophetic act of us, because how many of you know in the Old Testament, God was contained to a building, right? Because we were kind of like sieves that the Holy Spirit could come on, but it would flow through. It couldn't. But because of Christ, he now lives in us. Like, he's alive in us. It's a very different thing. So now we're the temple of the Holy God, of the living God. Like, he lives in us. And we come together to do life together, but our doing life together isn't just so we can be by each other's sick bed, help each other with meals, be there at each other's parties. Those are great things, and I love that I have a community. But it's so we can get together and advance the kingdom. That's what doing life together means. It means we are invading territory. And so that doesn't just come by action, like your behaviors. That comes by devotion. Surrender to that oneness of who he is. The spirit realm that affects the ability of the natural places to progress is what we as believers have authority over. And I don't think we often think about that. Like, a lot of people can do really good things. I don't know about you. I know non-Christians that do really good stuff all the time. They're good people. They do helpful things. They have a lot of innovation. But what they cannot navigate is spirit realms. We have the responsibility. That's what authority. Authority is responsibility. It's not about dominance. It's about responsibility. He who has the authority is the one who has to answer for it, right? So we as believers, we get to be full of his Holy Spirit. We get to live as those devoted to him. And so when we come into that place of going, I feel like we're just in a season of like I heard someone say at a prayer thing I was out the other day, I'm just sick of all the garbage that I focus on. Like, I'm just sick of doing things in the name of the Lord instead of in the, like Pastor was talking about today, from the flow of the Lord. It's the difference when you're doing it from him alive in me versus doing it for him. It feels different when we're overflow than when we're pouring out, right? When we're pouring out instead of flowing, right? He says, out of your belly shall flow torrents of living water. We cannot progress in any kind of way until the temple's rebuilt. So when they went back to rebuild the city, the first thing they did was start rebuilding the temple. That was where they started. I find that very fascinating. They didn't start with rebuilding their houses or their family units. They really started with the temple. It's us coming to that place that we're not of this world. We're of another spirit. And there's a spirit of life in us that has overcome the spirit of death. And that's alive, right? So we navigate first spirit realms. We stand in agreement with God's plan to impact natural realms and to see transformed to his kingdom. So we're no longer a people who are just content to live blessed under the oppression of the God of this world, right? It's no longer about our favor, our blessing. God did this for me. He did that for me. I don't know about you. It just gets old. Right? Just like constantly coming back to him to fix my needs and take care of my problems when there's not this life flow of him. And I had this picture this morning during service, and we were just worshiping. I don't remember if it was at the beginning or at the end, but I just saw a picture of like Jesus, like, you know, when Peter, he said, come to me and step out of the boat, right? And I saw him kind of take us as his people, and I'm going to use two things because I don't know that men are going to be super excited about this as a visual, but I saw him like take face to face with his bride and begin to dance, right? And so he was dancing on the sea of glass, water, and then as they were dancing, the eyes of the bride were so fixed on the bridegroom that once in a while they went into a place of calamity or a place of mountain or a place of valley, but the bride didn't even notice where they were. They were just so eyes fixed on, so in the moment of that oneness with the love of the bridegroom, right? And I go, I guess you could also take it like if you had a coach, you know, this like face-to-face talking to you. You're not paying attention to everything going around. You're in the zone right here, right? Like I see that this first ripple is really about us being in that posture where it's like, Lord, I'm abiding as you abide in me. And the byproduct is fruit. It's all about me knowing you and walking in that divine oneness that I already have with you. This is what it's about. And I'm starting at that point. I'm not coming into you because I will give you that a lot of times we can come to the Lord by need, right? Like most people do, the disciples all did, but you will only remain by love and devotion. You will not remain with him by need. And we see that in the word a ton. Many came and he healed and they went away and he never saw them again. I often wonder if they came back next time they had a need. But there wasn't a devotion, an abiding that got to be a part of the transforming work that rocked the world that is the reason we're all Christians. Because those who remained in him and stayed by love and devotion couldn't live for anything else. They'd seen it. And I feel like we're just at the point where we get to shift from this place of coming to God and talking about earth and beginning to declare into the earth the things of the heavenlies, like what's happening in the heavenlies and saying what God says over the earth and saying what God says over you and asking the Lord. And it comes, so the next one on there is like it stretches from there to me in my life, right? So it comes with you. You're first. You're first, Lord. You're foremost. It's not just that you provide something for me. It's that I'm giving you me. Right? It's like if I took my husband and I said, you're going to be fully devoted to me. You're going to provide for me. You're going to tend to me. And I might come to you if I need something. You're going to be like, what a terrible wife. Your devotion is so one-sided. Right? But I feel like sometimes I can be like that with the Lord, you know, where it's not a mutual devotion. Like we're actually in this oneness here and we're kind of in this thing together. right? And so it coming from that place. So we're no longer content to live there as those under the oppressor of this world, but we are ambassadors. We're ambassadors bringing the presence and mindset of the kingdom of heaven to this world to bring an awareness of and to magnify the Lord to those who are abiding in this world, right? Thank you. It's getting to that place. So that's like, that's the rock that hits, that everything else comes from. If that isn't hitting, everything else is just, it's carnal, really. It's just carnal. I love how, you know, our very lovely women's leader was talking about Galatians 5 and how the Holy Spirit highlighted to her that there's a difference between in there where it talks about the acts of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. Isn't that an interesting distinction? Like, I hadn't really noticed that before. But the understanding that repentance was a big part of rebuilding the temple. Like, it was them coming to this place of purifying our hearts as a body. Coming into agreement. It always interests me that Nehemiah and Ezra both repented for things they didn't do. Because they just saw our culture has stepped into things that are far from your heart. And we're a part of that. And as we get close to your heart again, and we come into agreement with the heart of God without wavering or compromise. Compromise, you know, it's funny when we think of compromise. I don't know, you may not. I always think of compromise as like, I didn't stick to this, I went to that. But really the definition of compromise is the intermingling of two things. I just mingled this in, right? It's not that I forsook the Lord for this thing. I just kind of mingled them together. Right? And he's saying, like, coming to that place here where we go, Father, worship and praise. It's all about you as the highest place. My life laid down. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ alive in me. Right? The hope of glory. It's a different life I live now. It's not me just asking you to do things in my world. You're my world. You're my all in all, and out of that will flow living water. Have you ever wondered the disciples? They all had jobs and lives and families, but when they were called, and they didn't even have the Holy Spirit in them at that time. Like, we have the Holy Spirit, which is like his strength alive in us. They just, by pure, like, devotion, laid down everything, and he became their one pursuit. And aren't you glad he did? Because none of us would know him if they hadn't. Like, there's people, there's future generations that are like reliant on us to lay down our lives to receive his life. And I don't know about you, I've never once regretted giving the Lord my life. I've regretted taking my life back at times, right? You know, like there are times it was like, I don't know what's going on here. And he's like, honey, you just took your life back. Oh my gosh, I don't know what I was thinking. Like, I ruined it the first time, so young. You know, I don't know why I would even want it back as my own. You alive in me, me in you. And the bearing of the fruit and the byproduct of that, it's a beautiful thing. So it's that spirit of repentance, I think, has been flowing. And it's not about our acts, our actions, our behaviors. That, I think, it's when we're in that Galatians 5 place, it's what just comes out of you is actions when you're in the flesh. But when you're in the spirit, it's a cultivated byproduct of just being rooted in his love. They're different things. You know, you're just living out of that fruit of that. And then from that, because really the fruit of the Spirit is love that is produced in joy, peace, patience, all those things. And faith works by love. So the gifts of the Spirit then get to flow in purity without any perversion or duality or mixture, right? So we flow from that. We go, Lord, starts with that place of worship and remembering who you are. That purity of the gospel that it's already done, that you already accomplished it. I don't have to earn it. It was an absolute gift. If it was earned, it would be a reward, not a gift, right? So it's a gift you gave. You offered yourself fully for me, but then I get to give you me in return, right? I get to. It's my privilege. And so now, Lord, if there's any place of compromise in my heart, I just thank you that you'll reveal it to me. And I thank you that what the enemy then put before me, he will stumble and fall in, because once I see that, I can revoke it and put it back under the authority of the love of Jesus and just be walk free, right? And then I'm free. And so we come into that place and then we shift into there to where Christ is our focus. It's hot up here. So Maybe I'm just hot flashing. I don't know. You just never know at my age. It just is what it is. So when he's our focus, when we're living from that friendship and fellowship and singleness of him, where he's in me, and there's any unsurrendered, closed off areas, Lord, I'm just opening it all to you. Nothing held back. No area of wounding. I just hope you know God says he actually heals all your wounds. Emotional, physical, spiritual. He's the healer of all wounds. But it's found in him, right? It's just found in him. As you just abide in him, you walk in that wholeness, his heart's desire. Just asking him, like, Lord, I just want to bring myself in alignment with you. And then from there, what we do is we ripple out from that place. It shifts from us, like going, hey, what can he do for us, to him alive in us, and begin to build in the spheres of influence and arenas he's placed us in to bring him glory. Like, it's no longer about, Lord, here's what's going on with me. Can you take care of this? What do we do with that? It's, Father, I'm here to meet with you, and I'm at one with you. And how do you want to impact the world through me today? What are we going to do today, right? What's on your heart today? I want to see what you're doing. I don't want to focus on the rubble. I'm tired of praying about the rubble, tired of praying about the destruction. It's just time to build, right? Let's just start building. And, you know, so when you go into that place, you go, Lord, and how does what you and I are doing in this moment fit into what you're doing in my household, right? Whatever that may be. Your household may be you living in someone else's house. It could be whatever arena you're in. You know, some of that can be even just the spheres of influence you have, your group of friends. It can be, you know, your family. It can be your job. It can be just like your household is really where you operate in life. And so you're like, Lord, what is it today? Where are we where I can just step into what the things of you and impact the atmosphere? Because we are atmosphere changers. Right? I think sometimes we can feel, like Pastor talks about, the reverb in the room. You know what I mean? You can feel that. But the beauty is we live above that. We bring his presence. Like, if you're a born again believer, you live from purpose. You're not seeking purpose. You bring purpose. You bring his presence. You magnify him. And so you step into that and go, what can I do? How can me and then my household impact things for your kingdom? And you begin to pray into that and spend time with him, talking to him about, Lord, what's your heart for this household, this arena that I live in? What if we prayed from his heavenly will instead of against what the enemy's doing? We want to pray what you're doing, Lord, and step into that. And we want to see the wiles and tactics of the enemy. You tell us not to be ignorant of them, but you also tell us not to be ignorant of the gifts and the things we have to come against him, and that we get to advance and not just hold land, right? And so from there, you just go straight from that. When you're after the temple, they began building the wall to strengthen the city. And they came into unity to create a place of devoted territory to develop for his kingdom, right? So they go, let's come in and strengthen the city. Now that the temple's rebuilt, we're going to strengthen the city. And they're like, this is hard. Like, there's a lot of things going on here, right? And so he just said, I'll tell you what. Why don't each of us just start building the wall in our own backyard, right? We're going to all start building. And, oh, they're going to mock us and make fun of us, and the enemy's going to tell us we have no right and we have no authority and it's not our kingdom, and who do we think we are? And anything we build will just fall down anyways. So what's the point? Like, the one guy was like, even if a fox walked on their wall, it would fall down. They have nothing to build with, right? But they understood they had a commission from heaven. So they had heavenly resources that are greater than earthly resources. So they began and they built. They said, I'm going to have a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. And I think that's such a brilliant strategy, because you go, I'm going to be taking territory, advancing, but I'm also going to be holding what we've already taken and building on it. I think we can tend to, like, either be doing one or the other. We're either holding on so tight to what we just don't want the enemy to go any further, but we forget to go forward. Or we're so busy running forward that we forget to hold on what's already been gained, right? And so we go, we want to be in that place where we are holding the line. He's not getting any territory back here. We're staying in that place of praise and thanksgiving. We're being responsible and diligent with the things he's put in our charge, but we're moving forward also as we build. Like, so they're sitting there and they're building. And as each of them built, they came into this place where pretty soon the whole wall was built. And I thought it was great. Pastor Dave brought up a scripture today that I've heard, but I never knew this part of it. So it's Ezekiel 22:30. So you guys have all heard that. So I sought for one who would stand in the gap. Have you guys heard that? Like, I've heard that a gazillion times. I never heard the part about the wall. Like, so I thought for a man amongst them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that it should not be destroyed, but I couldn't find not even one. And I thought about that. I've often thought about this. I go, there's so many believers in our city. I mean, do you guys not know? I know a lot of believers. I know a lot of Christians. We've gone to a couple churches. I know a lot of people. And so I go, what if, Lord, your word says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few? What if every one of us started just taking responsibility for wherever you've placed us? You know, and as a real estate agent, I always equate that to land. Like, you know, it was like, hey, when people, I'm with people and they're going to buy houses, I go, ask the Lord, like, what he wants you to do here. You know, in this place, it's not just about you getting the house with the pool and the cool thing you want. Like, you're taking territory, man. Like, you're negotiating contracts to take territory, and Christ lives in you. So what if every one of us, like, even in just this room, we went, where I live, what if I started taking responsibility for the spirit realm in my neighborhood? Just in my block. What if I just said, I'm never going to do anything beyond my block, but I'm going to walk around my neighborhood, I'm going to pray, I'm going to go introduce myself to people, ask them if I can pray for them, I'm going to take them meals, I'm going to do whatever the Spirit leads me to do. We used to have so much fun, we'd walk around our neighborhood and just ask the Lord to, like, show us things to pray for people in their homes. So we'd be like, this home really stood out to me. Father, what's there? What can we pray into their lives? Like, we're just, like, prophesying over houses. It's such a kick. Right? And it reminds us also to, like, get out of our own four walls of dysfunction. You know what I mean? Like, to go there. So it's like, if we go to that place where we're like, we're going to start as believers grabbing hold of who we are in Christ, start living as if it's already won. The battle's already won. You've already been commissioned. They were commissioned by a king to go and rebuild, but we've been commissioned by King Jesus to go and rebuild. He's already accomplished it. And I don't know about you, I can find myself waiting for him to do something that he told me he's already done, right? The trouble is I'm just learning to walk out what he's already worked in me. So we know it all works for good, but it's between the all things and the good. It gets kind of hairy, right? But it's like, it's not that it's not available. It's just we're learning how to walk it out. That comes from our devotion to him. So our devotion to him, and then it ripples out. So we ripple out to, like, our household, our sphere of influence. And then we can begin to ask the Lord, like, Lord, I bet you have a plan for this city. Like, we can see the enemy has a plan for the city. I mean, I feel like that's easy to see. There's a lot of rubble. But I think that it takes some Holy Spirit discernment and anointing to see the unseen. Like where we started. Lord, open our eyes that we not just see a big army around us. A big city of rubble. But open our eyes to see the unseen. Where's that found? That's just found by living in the Spirit. He says, if you live in the Spirit, you just won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. He said, the only time you're going to really struggle is if you only use my resurrection power to resurrect your old man. Right? He goes, I gave you resurrection power to conquer and overcome. Right? And sometimes it's just us agreeing with that, even if we're not feeling it. Just believing him and then agreeing with it and living as if it's so. So we go from there. Father, what's your heart for my city? The seven pillars, we've talked about this several times. You have prayer things. I want to combine media and arts and add medical because that's such a part of our community now, right? You know, like it's back when they did this, it wasn't such a big part of society, but that's a huge part of our society is the medical community in the world, right? In fact, in our town, it's the number one industry. It's the top job. It's the biggest moneymaker. And so, like, I feel like we need to add that in. Like, if we can start praying into these things, like, Father, you love health. So what's your plan for the health care? Father, you love education. You tell us not to be ignorant of many, many things. What's your heart for education? We want to begin declaring that into our society from the place of that heavenly realm. You know, what's your heart for governmental reign? The government's on your shoulder. You see where I'm going with that? Like just asking him his heart, standing in agreement with the place, and then living as if that was the reality. Sometimes I think that, 2 more minutes and I'll stop. Sometimes I think that, like, I love to go around, you guys probably do this too, like when I'm in Walmart or whatever, and just go, Lord, who can I pray for? Who needs a word? And I'll find myself a lot of times going like, who's hopeless and needs hope? I just want to approach him. I want to pray for him. This, that. But I found the Lord like stirring in my heart and go, why don't you ask me who's ripe for a calling? Who's kind of feeling a push but not stepping into it that you can go add life to also? Oh, that is a great idea. Right? Like, I'm so quick. Like, I just want to pray against the thing that's holding you back. I just want to pray you into life and that abundant. But sometimes there's more, like we want the abundant life, not just the life, right? It's like, I don't want you to just live. I want you to live in the abundance, and I want you to fulfill the call of God on your life, which is to mainly all of us have a call to live and love and look like Jesus in the earth. Like that's our call, to give him his due reward of our life conformed to his image. It's a beautiful thing, right? So looking for opportunities to speak life into people as well as to come against things, right, is such a great thing. So praying about, so you can kind of just ripple it out and go, I'm in this place of worship. You're the all in all. You're the rock. You're the center. You're the one that causes the movement. And from that, there's an overflow instead of a pouring out to the point of weariness, right? And so you go, this, Lord, what's this look like right here, right now, in this moment in me? How can I unpack those, the realms I walk in today? Whether it's, you know, whether I'm going to change a diaper or change the world, like, you know, whatever it is, wherever you're going to be, whether I'm at Walmart, gas station, work, I don't know, walking a dog, like, you just, whatever we want to do, we can be declaring his goodness and his glory. And then how does that affect the neighborhood? How does that affect my city? Lord, what's your plan for my city in this state? How does my city affect your plan for this state? Have you thought about that? It's a fascinating thing. Did you guys know that Oregon's what they call a pilot state? Which means they try stuff here. That's basically where I could just go. My translation is we're a guinea pig state. We're a guinea pig state. That's why you always go, they do that here? Like people move here and go, they don't do that anywhere else in the world. I go, you're right. You're right. We're a pilot state where they test programs out. But I go, what if that was done in the kingdom? What if we became the innovators for the move of God in this era? What if we quit looking at how, you know, like the enemy has ripped off the pilot state and go, Father, as innovators for your kingdom, like we want to see revival. I love when you have people like, you know, Angela and Pastor and people just going, I see the Lord saying we will be a catapult to the rest of the nation for how to turn this ship around and put it in the right direction. Like, what if we just started believing that? And started saying, so what if instead of, and I was challenged on this recently, like talking with Carissa about like the 21 days of prayer, where are we going to go to pray? I start going, well, we could go here to pray against this, there to pray against that. We'll go to the homeless camps and we'll pray and we'll go. And the Lord goes, hey, you want to know what I'm doing in your city? Yeah, I kind of do. And he goes, what if you went to these businesses downtown that I have a vision for? That are sitting empty and you start praying life into them? What if you went to this place and you start declaring? What if you went to this house that you drove by and it just keeps catching your eye and you don't know why? And you just knocked on their door and said, hey, I just feel like God's doing something special in your life. Can I just pray for you and your family? I mean, what if we started looking for what he's doing and standing in agreement with it? It's so much better to build than to focus on what's torn down. It's overwhelming. To look at the rubble, it's too overwhelming. But if you just pick up a tool, pick up a weapon, and start going, right? We're going to hold the line of what we already have, but we're going to move forward with what God's doing. He's doing awesome things. He's doing amazing things in our community. I see it. I only see it, though, when my eyes are open, because when I just look with my natural eyes, I just feel sad. You guys know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm just out looking around, I'm like, Lord, that's so sad. I just saw this person sleeping here, and this is that, and this. And I'm listening to, you know, the stinking scanner chats and, you know, there's all these awful things. And I'm just like, everything's going to hell in a handbasket. Like, it's just awful. But he's like, actually, I'm faithful from generation to generation. I have a divine plan and a purpose for this city, for this state. So how does Grants Pass fit into what God's doing in Oregon? How can we stand in agreement with that and believe him for it? And then how does our state fit into what he's doing in our region and in our nation? Like, what if we started going, Father, when America was designed, and I don't want to debate how it was designed and how it was taken, but if it was just, if you had an idea for it, what was your idea for America? Were we to be a great sending out nation? Were we to be those who, like, set justice and standards for the world? Like, what was your intent? What would your heart be for this nation in the world? And then what's your heart for the world in this era? Like, what are you doing in the earth? And Lord, mostly, what are you doing in the heavenlies that we can stand in agreement to be fulfilled in the earth? Right? If we start seeing from that other vantage point, does that make sense? So coming to that place where we're seeing from there, going that direction, praying into those things, staying in the place of courage and encouragement. And as you abide in him and he abides in you, the byproduct is fruit. Like, I think it's really wise that we look at indicators. I can remember one day I woke up and I was just, you ever have those seasons where I was just feeling blah, like, you know, and everything that happened felt catastrophic, you know, like somebody would do something. I'm like, that's so sad. That's so terrible. And all of a sudden I just had this revelation that was like, there is nothing going on in your life that justifies this level of despondency. Like, I mean, there are times where it's justified in your life that it makes sense. You know, you've lost someone you love or you're having a hardship. There's genuine trials that I go, it's absolutely understandable you'd be feeling challenged and having a hard time. But this was not one of those. It was like, and I was like, you're right. What am I wanking about? And it's making everything a big deal when nothing's a big deal. Like, it's just magnifying the mountain of adversity over the mountaintop of his glory. Right? And when I just shifted in that moment, just a mindset shift to, Father, you're so good. And I remember thinking, I'm a born-again daughter of King Jesus. What am I winking about? My worst day here is as bad as it will ever get. I live in his glory, and it only goes from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And so it's a funny thing. Like, we can tend to be like, when we ask people how they're doing, if they don't tell us some sort of problem, we can say they're being fake. Like, that we're supposed to be focused on our problems, you know? And so somebody goes, how are you? And we go, well, you know, my knee's a little bum today. Oh, so that defines how you are in your totality as a human? Like, you know, and I'm not saying that we want to be those who don't walk. You know, we rejoice with those who rejoice. Yes, we weep with those who weep, but we also should rejoice. He says, rejoice in all things. Right? And so I go, my perspective has become this. There may be things going on. There may be challenges. But I truly am fantastic because I'm a born-again daughter of King Jesus. Right? Like, yeah, there's challenges. There's hardships. This is difficult. But life is good. Like, I am good. I'm good because I belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so I just wanted to kind of put this out here as kind of a shift of focus with a ripple of prayer. If you look at these as circles, if it goes, Lord, we just want to get back to that place where it's all about you. You know, I love that last song they were singing. I wish they'd come sing it again. Would you come sing that song again that you finished with? I'd love to, Crystal. Thank you. See the King of Glory. And I just want us to put our hearts in that posture of fully surrender to him that causes everything to ripple out of us differently. You know, from that place of praise of worship. So as we go into this time, you guys can go ahead and start as soon as your wife gets up here. You guys did great, by the way. As we go into that time of just like, Lord, I want to fix my gaze on you. Like Peter, who eye to eye, he said, come out of the boat. And as long as his eyes were fixed on Jesus, he could walk. The funny thing is the same thing happened when they were in the boat with the storm. Why are you looking at the storm? I told you we were going to the other side. You could have just believed me, but you believed the storm instead. Right? And we're going to shift into that place. So if we can just close out in that place of worship, and then if you guys can have your ripples and just be praying into that place of worship, and then spreading. And if you guys feel like, I just want somebody to stand in agreement for me with prayer, I know there's all kinds of people who are equipped. In fact, you're equipped. So just grab the person next to you, because everybody's equipped unto every good work if Christ lives inside of you. You can grab whoever's by you, and all you have to do is say yes. Don't go, I don't know how to pray for people. Just go, Father, it doesn't matter what I know, because I know you, and you live inside of me. Would you show me how to pray for this person? You love them, and you love me, and you've put them right next to me, and they need some prayer. So let's just go into that place of worship now.
I'm going to ask you, would you close your eyes right where you're at? And would you draw in a deep breath and let it out slowly right now? I just believe God wants you to know He's got everything under control. Let your spirit be with Him. Meditate on Him. To be with Him in your thoughts and in your prayers and your actions and your deeds. God is asking us, nope, don't lean on your own understanding. Or as Christ would said, don't keep trying to take back your life that's already been redeemed by a perfect sacrifice. So Lord, we take a cleansing breath and thank you, Lord, for reminding us that we are under your perfect care. We are under your perfect authority. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that we've been given the challenge, Lord God, to grab the weapon and the tool and to advance. Thank you for our mission. Thank you for considering us battle-worthy, Lord God, on this battleship. Equip us, Lord God, that we may go forward in the powerful authority of our King, in the powerful promise of our Lord, and in the powerful strength of the Spirit. We give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, look at the person next to you. If they're good looking, take them out somewhere for dessert. If they don't take you out, then that tells you what they thought of you, okay? Have a good night, everybody.